Hey, you can be seated. Just loading myself up with a hot cup of tea there. I struggled a little bit this week. Interesting, as we sing those traditional Christmas carols, we realize after having directed camps for 25 years that the caroling amongst the kids becomes lower and lower because they don't know the songs. Some of them have never heard some of these songs that we think of as, oh, they're traditional, they're even Americana, we think. But for them, it's like a foreign language. And so I'm glad that we get to share these songs that have such scripture in them. And again, some of the songs of old especially were so laden with scripture because people couldn't get to church, many of them, living in rural places. So to learn a song that was steeped in scripture was so important. And even as they sing them, boy, they're, in a sense, they're reading scripture, which is a great, great thing. So here we come to our time of communion, the first Sunday of December. And oftentimes, we build our church calendar around our two big events. You have Christmas time and you have Easter time. And in a way, we tend to see them as polar opposites. Christmas time we think of as joyful, colorful lights, full of songs, gifts, feasting, celebrations, anticipation of the big day. And again, it lasts for weeks, or at least 12 days, according to the song. And it goes right into the hope of the new year. And then we see Easter as somber, as more muted pastels, quiet, self-examination, sacrifice, fasting, the dreadful thought of the betrayal, the suffering, and the crucifixion of Jesus that culminates in the glorious resurrection and ascension, of course. Yet these two events, the incarnation and the crucifixion and the resurrection, are closely tied together. And I think that there's an event in Scripture, in Matthew chapter 2, that you might say reunites them, that brings together Christmas and Easter. And it's found in chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. And so I'd like to read a portion of that together to prepare us for communion, which we'll be reading from Matthew chapter 26. So if you want to turn to Matthew for a moment, I think you're going to find that this is a familiar passage of Scripture, especially around this time of the year. I'm going to read, again, just the first 12 verses of Matthew chapter 2 to prepare us for communion. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, and again, this could be almost 2 years after maybe the exact date of Jesus' birth, which we don't know when that was, but behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Why was he troubled? Well, because any ruling dynasty like the Herod family would feel threatened by anybody else who claimed to be the king. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me, that I may also come and worship him. And that, of course, you can write lie after that verse because he didn't want to worship him. He wanted to kill him. When they heard the king, the wise men departed. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house and saw the young child with Mary, his mother, they fell down and worshiped him. When they had opened their treasures, they presented him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Everybody likes to receive a gift on Christmas, from the youngest to the oldest, the richest to the poorest. And the kings, the richest and the wisest, they bring their gifts of, again, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And I shared this last night at the Living Nativity, that these gifts are an interesting gift for a baby. You would normally expect a wooden donkey, maybe a wagon, a small hammer, a quilt, right, Betty? But, you know, that would be little boy gifts. But these gifts have great significance for the future of Jesus and Mary. And I would say these are deferred value kind of gifts, like stock or savings bonds. Or if you're a kid, it's like receiving a bathing suit, a surfboard, and suntan lotion on Christmas morning. You're grateful, but you know you're not going to be using those things for quite a while. You have to put those gifts off until May or June, unless there's a pair of tickets to Hawaii or Fiji in your stocking, and then, of course, you get to use them. But usually it's those deferred value gifts like that. And you might say that these Christmas gifts are really Easter gifts that are going to be fully understood 30 years later, when Jesus begins his earthly ministry that culminates again in his sacrificial substitutionary death and his glorious victorious resurrection. But the first gift, of course, we read about is gold. And gold, again, as we've shared before, pure, valuable, more rare in Jesus' day than it is now, and brilliant. It's brilliant in its reflective properties. And this is perfect for Jesus, the pure, spotless Lamb of God who will take away the sins of the world. Of greater value than anything that the world has ever known. Certainly, we realize that when we ask him, we receive the gift of salvation and forgiveness in his name. We realize, wow, nothing on earth compares to knowing Jesus Christ as my Savior. And again, as we've read in the book of Hebrews, he's the perfect reflection of God the Father. The brightness of his glory, the expressed image of his likeness. So gold is fitting for the baby Jesus, as he will forever be known as the King of Kings, where every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Revelation chapter 19, verse 6. And then there's the second gift of frankincense. And again, this was the incense that was burned in the tabernacle in the temple, when the priest would go into the temple, offer prayers for the people, being the intercessory, the mediator between sinful man and women and a holy God. And as he would pray these prayers, the incense would be burnt and the smoke would rise up, symbolizing the prayers rising up to heaven. And again, perfect for Jesus, who the writer of Hebrews says is our high priest, our great high priest, the only mediator between God and man, who brings the only acceptable sacrifice, the gift of himself, of course, atoning for the sins of all the world. So frankincense, the perfect gift, the perfect Christmas and Easter gift for Jesus. And then lastly, maybe the most unusual one is myrrh. And myrrh is kind of a balm, an ointment, a lotion, a strong perfume. The word means bitter, actually, like Smyrna, the church of Smyrna that suffered greatly for the name of Jesus. But again, it was used for embalming the dead. It was used for rubbing upon the body of somebody who had died before they would wrap it in the cloths. And this was perfect, of course, for Jesus, who really was on a rescue mission, to offer himself as a ransom payment for men and women to be set free from the slavery of sin and death by taking upon himself the sins of the world on the cross. And so myrrh is a fitting gift for our Savior, Jesus Christ. And so, thinking about those Christmas gifts, boy, it's so closely tied in, really, to Easter, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and his glorious resurrection. And so let's consider him. Jesus the King, Jesus our High Priest, and Jesus our Savior, who perfectly represented God the Father and communicated his love to the disciples and to us. And he spoke about that on that night that we call the Last Supper. Might be called the Last Passover, but we also call it the First Communion. And so if the ushers could come forward there, Rich, there's one here. Joe, if Joe's around, there's one there. We're going to pass out that communion. And let's pray as we prepare our hearts for communion time. And Lord, we say thank you. Lord Jesus, thank you that, again, the gifts that were given to you when you were just an infant, Lord, had such great significance later in life, God, as we think about you becoming the King of Kings, reflecting the Father just perfectly. We think about you, Jesus, being offered up for our sins, God, the only acceptable sacrifice to God the Father. And Lord, we think about you, of course, on the rescue mission, being born in a sense to die, Lord. The myrrh, the bitterness, the cup that you drank, Lord, to give yourself as an offering on the cross. Lord Jesus, all these gifts of Christmas become Easter gifts. And Lord, we thank you for them now. We think about that. In your name we pray. Amen.
Let the King of my heart be the mountain where I run, the fountain I drink from, oh, is my song. Let the King of my heart be the shadow where I hide, the ransom for my life, oh, is my song. You are good, good, oh, you are good, good, oh, you are good, you're good, oh, you are good, you're good, oh. Let the King of my heart be the wind inside my sails, the anchor in the waves, oh, is my song. Let the King of my heart be the fire inside my veins, the echo of my days, oh, is my song. Good, you're good, oh, you are good, good, oh, you are good, you're good, oh, you are good, you're good.
Avoid the awkwardness, just push down on that tab first and up should spring that cellophane and be able to access that little bread wafer there. Again, reading from Matthew chapter 26, beginning with verse 17. Now on the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying to him, "Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover?" And he said, "Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, 'The teacher says, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.'" So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover. When evening had come, he sat down with the disciples, with the 12, fast forwarding to verse 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body." Let's do that now. And again, Lord Jesus, we say thank you, God, for offering your body, your back, your head, your hands, your feet, your side, every part, Lord, to be pierced and scourged, whipped, lacerated, God. All these things for our healing, Lord. For, Lord, we know that years, centuries before you hung on the cross, Lord, the prophet Isaiah said that you were wounded for our transgressions, you were bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement, the payment for our peace was upon you. And by your stripes, your piercings, Lord, your crucifixion, we are healed, Lord Jesus. So, Lord, we receive that now in our own bodies, Lord. Thank you for providing healing for us in our minds and our hearts and our bodies, Lord, and certainly for our soul, God, knowing that one day we'll be with you in heaven, where there'll be no more pain and sorrow and suffering, no more tears, for the former things have passed away, and all things will become new. But until that day, Lord, please, we ask for your healing touch. Thank you, Jesus. Continuing on, he took the cup, verse 27. He gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the forgiveness of sins. And I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom." And we look forward to that day, but now let's drink together. And again, Jesus, you fulfilled every prophecy, Lord, that spoke of your death and your resurrection, Jesus. In the book of Leviticus, God, we read that the life of the flesh is in the blood, and without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins, Lord Jesus. And you did that. You fulfilled all the righteous requirements of the law in your own body. And when you said it is finished, Lord, every sacrifice of a bull, a lamb, turtle doves, goats, whatever it was, Jesus, were done. Because you were the once and for all sacrifice for the sins of the world. Thank you, Jesus, that you were the sufficient, perfect sacrifice. Thank you that we enter into the new covenant in your blood. And then it says, when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. So as Kirsten or somebody collects those cups, let's sing a hymn together.
Let the King of my heart be the wind beside my sails, the anchor in the waves, oh, is my song. Let the King of my heart be the fire inside my veins, the echo of my days, oh, is my song. You are good, 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 good. You are good, good, good. You are good.
Yes, dear Lord, we commit the rest of our time to you, Jesus. Thank you for meeting us, for communing with us, Lord Jesus, in this time of communion, God, as we enter into a deeper relationship with you through acts like this, Lord. Acts just like the young church experience, Lord, as we give ourselves to the reading of your word, to the breaking of bread, to the singing of songs and praises, Lord, to the fellowship, being with one another here, gathering together, Lord. Lord, it is as good as it gets, Lord, on earth, preparing us for that day, once again, when we'll join with you in the marriage supper of the Lamb, and you will once again, Lord, drink from the fruit of the vine, just as you said, Lord Jesus, and we'll be at the table with you. Thank you for that blessed assurance, Lord, that we have. Watch over us now. Guard our hearts and our minds, Lord. Give us a peace that passes all understanding. We pray it in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right, well, we are going to go right into our reading of our word. And again, we're still learning this new rhythm. I know I am. But we're going to save our collection and our announcements until the end of service. And I hope that's okay with you. Thanks. I can tell you that the first place we'll be going to, just if you'd like to follow along, will be John chapter 4. And then from there, we'll go on to Romans chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to do some gift shopping, you might say. And so just like when you go to wherever you shop, whether it's Kohl's or Costco or pick your favorite store, you go down all these aisles. And you might have aisles you enjoy more than others. But you still take time to go down most of them there to see what there is to offer. So we're going to do that today. As I mentioned, everybody loves to receive a gift on Christmas. Even if you say, no, please don't get me anything. I have everything I need. Well, if your daughter or son or nephew or niece hands you a gift, you don't usually take it and, you know, throw it 50 yards away. Usually you say, thanks. This is so kind of you. And it's an expression of love. That's why we give and receive gifts. We give them out of love. And we know this to be true because God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. So God gave us his greatest gift in Jesus Christ, no doubt about it. Now, we already shared how those who were the greatest, you might say, that you see in the manger scene, the wise men, the kings, gave their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. You could actually say that each one of these that are present in this little scene here gave something to God. And it might not be what we think of as a tangible item, but certainly it was given of their talents or treasures or their time. And the first one that we see come up in Luke chapter 2 is the angels. As the angels offer, you might say, the gift of praise and worship. As a multitude of heavenly hosts praises God and sings glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill to men. That's a gift of praise. It's the sacrifice of praise. That's a good thing. We oftentimes relegate it to a lowly thing. The sweet story of the little drummer boy, you know, he can't buy a cradle or a rattle or a wagon for Jesus. So he says, I'll give what I have and I'll play on my drum, you know. Well, that's a great, the angels praise the Lord in the song, the mighty angels. And then the shepherds, you might say the shepherds, they gave the gift, and I'll use this loosely, of publicity, what we would call evangelism. And they also give glory and praise to God. They make the declaration of Jesus. Any event needs somebody to publicize it. And so the shepherds, it says, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning the child, and they glorified and praised God for all the things that they had heard and seen. So that's their part in the giving. And then there's Joseph and Mary. And soon after the moment that I read in Matthew chapter 2, we'll read about them presenting a gift to God in the temple. And they bring a pair of turtle doves. It's the offering after any male child is born. Now, preferably it was a lamb or a goat. But if somebody didn't have the economic means to buy those things, they could bring two turtle doves, which were a lot cheaper. And they brought those. And you might say it gives you a little indication that Mary and Joseph, you know, weren't living high on the hog. They were lowly. Most would say Jesus was born into more poverty than wealth, but they bring this gift of two turtle doves to the temple. And so all these gifts are given after God gave his gift of love to all of them, which of course is God the Son, Jesus Christ. And so love always motivates us to give a gift. Again, time, talents, treasures, either one is acceptable. The extra special thing about the gift of Jesus Christ is that when you receive the gift of Jesus Christ, receive forgiveness, salvation, you get bonus gifts. You think you're just receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior, which you are, of course. That's great. That's the greatest gift of all. But as I mentioned, you might not have expected forgiveness, love, peace, joy, salvation, love. Love one another as I have loved you. No greater love has this than a man than to lay down his life for his friends. And you're my friends, Jesus says. I'm giving you the gift of love. Forgiveness. As John the Apostle declared, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That's a gift. To receive forgiveness, the world doesn't know that. They usually numb their shame or their sorrow or their bitterness with substances or with a person. Peace. Jesus said, peace to you as the Father has sent me, so I send you. John 20:20. That was our verse for 2020. Boy, we needed God's peace in 2020. That was for sure. We had no idea what was coming. Joy. Jesus said, these things I have spoken to you that my joy may remain in you, that your joy may be full. That's also in John chapter 15. and of course, salvation. Jesus declared when Zacchaeus hosted Jesus in his home, Jesus said, today salvation has come to this house, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus Christ, our Savior. Salvation, what a gift that is. Now, I know that many of you have received these gifts from Jesus Christ. And these are gifts that you truly can say you received on your first birthday with Jesus. Those were gifts that were given to you, really, on that day. You might be just discovering them still, but those were all yours in Christ Jesus as you were born again of the Spirit. Now, I hope I can say this with certainty. I don't believe that you all received the gifts that you received on your first birthday, that those are all the gifts you'll ever receive. That's all you got. First birthday came, people gave your parents clothing and rattles and maybe some diapers and stuff like that, and that's all you ever received. You never got anything else. I'm guessing that wasn't true for you. I'm guessing that when your second birthday came, you received some new gifts, your third, again, new gifts, and you probably didn't receive the same gifts every year. They changed as you got older. You didn't get diapers when you turned 13, hopefully. Okay, that would have been a cruel gift to get from your friends. But the gifts change as you mature. Now, hey, maybe diapers at 80 are good again. I don't know. But, that's okay. But the same is true for our spiritual lives. As we mature, as we get older, so do the gifts. They change. And like any good gift from God, these gifts are meant to be enjoyed and to be shared with others. That's why the sermon is called Gifts for Sharing. They're not gifts for you to covet. The gifts that God gives you are for the edifying of the body of Christ, the building up of one another. And I enjoy getting gifts that involve two people playing a game or something like that. A tennis racket, you usually got two tennis rackets, or a board game was not meant to be played with one person. And so you immediately look for somebody else to play the game with. And maybe it was your sibling or something like that. Those are great gifts. And one of the first gifts that comes up in the New Testament is in John chapter 4. When Jesus came to a city of Samaria, as we read in verse 5, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. And I reference this story a lot. There's so much depth in the story here. John chapter 4, when Jesus meets the Samaritan woman at the well. Jesus, therefore, being weary from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. It's about noontime. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink. Please give me a drink." I'm sure he was courteous. For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman?" Two strikes, right? Samaritan Jew, woman man, shouldn't be conversing casually. "For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water," the Spirit of God, bound in a relationship with Jesus Christ, flowing through you. He says, that's a gift that's readily available to you. And she will come to have that, by the way, as she will go and desire this water. And she'll go back to her town of Samaria and say, "I got to introduce you to somebody who told me everything about me. He told me everything about me. Come and see for yourself." And it says that the rest of the town of Samaria that heard the woman came and they believed on Jesus, not because of what the woman had said, not because of her testimony of Jesus, but because they met him themselves. Gifts to be shared. The Samaritan woman was one of the first to share about Jesus Christ with others. Now, Paul, the apostle, 30 years maybe after Jesus ascends into heaven, expands upon these gifts in his letters to the Romans, to the Corinthians, to the Ephesians. And to the Romans in chapter 12, he writes this. Speaking to those who are Christians already, he says, I beseech you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable act of service. In other words, David Jeremiah said this. He said, who you are is God's gift to you. But what you do with who you are is your gift to God. Profound. And Paul says the same thing here. Present your body, everything about you, a living sacrifice to God. And do not be conformed, verse 2, Romans 12, to this world. Don't go with the flow, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself or herself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt each one a measure of faith. In other words, every good thing that you have is from God. For as we have many members in one body, verse 4, Romans 12, but all the members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. And he begins, if prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering to others. He who teaches in teaching. He who exhorts in exhortation, he or she who gives with give with liberality. And if you give unto others, man, pour it on. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. But above all, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. So again, we've looked into these gifts, especially prophecy, the last couple of weeks. As in this case, I believe in Romans chapter 12, prophecy is that declaration of the will of God. It's that providing of guidance. It's declaring the will of God, speaking forth the truth of God. Again, especially to somebody who's searching for something that will help them make a decision, you might give them a scripture, a word of encouragement, that spurs them on, that gives them confidence. And Paul lists varying gifts here. Ministry, meeting the needs of the saints, as those that were chosen in the book of Acts, to distribute the food, to declare the word of God. By doing that, some of us have the gift of ministry. And you might include in there helps and hospitality. We've known people who minister Jesus' love in a very practical way. You might call them behind-the-scenes people. I think of two families, one in Idlewild. I think of the Smith family, Bill and Taryn Smith, who would open up their home to us who were serving in Idlewild with Camp Allendale. They had a beautiful log cabin, and they would fill their home with music and beautiful things and food, and they would offer their home to us to stay in. They ministered Jesus' love to us with hospitality. The gift of helps. I think of our friend Norm Helsel, who would come to camp early, and he'd say, what can I do? What can I fix? How can I help you? And I'd say, well, Norm, you're here as a counselor. That's good enough. He said, no, I want help. The Lord's given me a gift, and I'm supposed to share it. So let me fix something. Let me do something for you, please. People who have those gifts, not because they did something special, they earned it, but God said, hey, I'm giving you this gift to share with others. And so they minister the love of Christ. And it's all covered, verse 9, with love. Again, love is the lotion, the icing that covers every good gift that we have. Without love, we're just a clanging cymbal, an annoying bell. Going on to the Corinthians in chapter 12, beginning in verse 4, he writes, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom. Again, insight into a biblical truth or a situation. Clarity in the chaos. Some type of application of a scripture. To another, the word of knowledge. Maybe the ability to analyze a biblical truth. Discern between good teaching and false teaching. Through the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. Again, we're given measures of faith. Faith, that confident trust and obedience to the Word of God, the written, spoken, living Word of God, Jesus Christ. And we know people, all of us can think of somebody right now, who seem to have an abundance of faith, where they will receive something and they'll just forge ahead with it. No questions asked. I think about our son Nick, who just, man, he just leaps right in, jumps right in, says, God's going to take care of it. And he just goes for it. And some of us say, that's reckless. You know, you're not, man, it's admirable, actually. I like to do that more often instead of trying to figure it out first. Sometimes you just say, Jesus, I know you're in this. What I'm about to do honors you, so I'm going. I'm diving in, as Stephen Curtis Chapman said, I'm diving in. And he goes on to say, the latter part of verse 9, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit. And again, applying faith and praying in the Spirit for somebody who's sick, anointing them, fully believing God can heal them, but not my will, but your will be done, Lord. To another, the working of miracles. And again, it seems like, especially in apostolic times, miracles were done to confirm apostolic authority, and it wasn't to ever draw attention to the person that was the agent of the miracle, but it was to glorify the name of Jesus Christ. These things were written, John said, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and by believing have life in his name. John referring to those many of those miracles that happened. Yet even today, many are touched by God in a supernatural way as God is glorified. And we say, that's a miracle of God. It defies logic. To another, prophecy. Again, declaring the will of God, speaking the truth of God to others. To another, discerning of spirits. True teaching, false teaching. Is this of God? To another, different kinds of tongues. Again, the ability to speak in unlearned languages. And also the ability to pray in what some would call prayer language unto God with groanings and utterances that can't be understood by many others. But yet that person, as they pray to the Lord, they don't know what to pray. And a tongue is given them. Again, in the time of the apostles, as they declared the praises of God, they were languages they didn't ever learn. But yet they spoke forth the word of God. And others who did know that language understood it. So this gift of tongues, and again, we'll expand upon that as we go through the book of Corinthians. It's a gift. To another, interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that body, being many, are one body, so also in Christ. We call the body of Christ the church. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jew or Greek, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. And so we have different giftings in the body of Christ. It's selfish if you don't use that gifting, if you don't share that gifting. We don't get to enjoy that. And I'm learning this too. For many years, Tina and I were directing camp together, we try to do a lot of things by ourselves. And again, it cost me a trigger of a hyperthyroid that still is kind of stuck to this day. But man, we just went on and on and on. And you know what? I missed out on the body of Christ who wanted to help many times. But I said, no, I got this. You know, I can do this. And man, I suffered for it. And they didn't get to share their gifts. And for that, I missed out. And I'm sorry for that. But I'm learning the hard way to say, yes, thank you so much. Love you for doing that. Whether it's hospitality or music or cleaning the church, whatever it is, it's beautiful to see the gifts used in the body of Christ. And that's a healthy church when everybody's using their gifts. When they're striving against each other, it's not. It's not a beautiful thing. Finally, last example I'm going to use here, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 7 through 8. Paul writes that Jesus ascended and led captivity captive, gave gifts to men and to women, I might add. And he himself gave some to be apostles, those who are sent as ambassadors for Jesus, like a missionary, some prophets, again, having a strong word of encouragement from God, providing direction, some evangelists bringing forth the message of the victory over sin and death that Jesus had, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, again, going on in chapter 4, verse 13, to a perfect man or woman, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, every part stays in its lane, as they say, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. In love. Gifts to be shared. I don't know about you, but it was torturous for me and my siblings to have to wait until Christmas to open up our gifts. You know, we looked at them for 2 weeks and we wondered what they were, different shapes and sizes. And we also wondered who they were for. When my mom started using a secret code, instead of writing our names on them, because one of my siblings would shake and then tear open a little piece and look through it. And so that said sibling would know exactly what the gift was before that sibling opened the gift on Christmas morning. Now, I only have two siblings, so right now, and one of them listens. So so the question is, how do you know which gifts are yours? How do you know? Well, it all starts with the first gift. The best gift, Jesus Christ. Because until you open or receive him, the rest don't matter. And best of all, as we shared last night at the Living Nativity, you don't have to wait until Christmas morning to open that gift. You can open it right now. And that was our prayer last night. And just like any gift, again, it's as simple as extending your arms, opening your heart, and saying, yes, Jesus, I receive that gift. And then once you do that, you'll be able to receive the bonus gifts that we just read about. And how do you know, again, which gifts are yours? Well, some churches, you know, hand out surveys of 100 questions to discover your gifts. There's books written about them. I'm not going to do either of those. I'm going to simplify it. And I will say, according to the scriptures, here's one way. The gifts are oftentimes things you really enjoy doing without strife or without need for recognition. Psalm 37 says this, trust in the Lord and do good. Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your ways to the Lord and he shall bring it to pass. man, it's just going to be something you really enjoy doing. Secondly, you ask questions to yourself. Does this thing edify the body of Christ? Is it beneficial for the work of the Lord? Does it minister the love of Jesus Christ to others in my local church? Again, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Is this needed right now? If so, man, I want to give it. There, our former pastor at Calvary Chapel Escondido, Pat Kenny, he would say some people would come into the church when they just started attending it, and they would say, hey, you know, the Lord told me, I've shared this before, the Lord told me I should be on the worship team. You know, I need to be on that team. And Pat would say, well, the Lord didn't tell me that, but I know that there's a great need for the cleaning crew on Saturdays once a month. And that would tell you if that person had a gift of love to give to the church, or they wanted some recognition for themselves. And so oftentimes, you'll know if your gift is needed. And finally, I would say a third question to ask yourself is, do I have a propensity to use this gift to my own advantage? Or become angry or rude if somebody doesn't do it my way? And if you answer yes to those questions, then don't do it. Don't need it. It's to be shared in love. Love is the key for every gift. So if you're wondering about it, hey, pray. Ask a brother or sister. Say, you know, I'm wondering what's something that I have to give to the body of Christ. And your brother or sister might say, man, I think you have a gift of hospitality, or you have a gift of teaching. Whenever I'm with you, things become very clear to me. You have the gift of song. Sing out the praises of God. Ask your brother or sister too, and that's a good way to know. So with that, I do want to give you an opportunity to receive the first gift as we close. If you've never received Jesus Christ, then hey, let the giving begin. Don't push him away any longer. And so let's pray. I want to give you an opportunity to do that. And again, Lord, we say thank you for giving us so many gifts, Jesus. Again, God, the greatest being, your only begotten Son. You love the world so much that you gave your Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish and have everlasting life. So God, if there's anybody here today or listening or whatever that has never opened up their hands, their hearts to receive you, I pray that they would do that now by just declaring, Jesus, thank you. Thank you. I receive you right now, Jesus. I receive all that you did for me, God, on the cross and through the resurrection. Jesus, you paid for my sin. Lord, your blood and your body were the ultimate sacrifice. I get it. And Lord, I receive that now. Forgive me for turning you away. Forgive me of my sin, Lord Jesus. And I receive new life from you. Thank you, Jesus. Born again, God, at this moment, I'm a new creation. Old things are passed away. Thank you, Jesus. And Lord, now I open myself up to all these other things, Lord, that I don't even understand. But I'm so grateful for love and joy and peace and salvation and forgiveness. And I look forward to really unwrapping each one of them as you've given them to me, God, as I receive you now. And Lord, for those of us, again, who have walked with you for a while, let us never neglect the gifts that you've given us, Lord. God, but to share them, to grow them, Jesus, to distribute them to the saints here gathered at the church. And Lord, in that way, we would have a healthy body, a healthy church. So Lord, we thank you for this time. Help us to consider the wonder of Christmas, Lord, and to be available to share that with others as we have opportunity. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hey, let's pray now too. We're going to receive an offering, and then we'll go into the announcements. And then I encourage you to stick around if you're able to for some special treats. as we happen to have a couple in our church that is given over to the gift of baking goodies for a long, long time. And let's receive that. So, Lord, thank you for this time, Lord. Thank you that you have given us abundantly, Lord. And we just want to give a portion of that back to you now, Jesus, as we give of our abundance, Lord, to the work of the ministry, Lord, to the furtherance of your kingdom, beginning both here in Julian and going to the furthest parts of the world, Lord, to Malawi and to Sao Paulo and to China, Lord. Those faraway places that we might never visit, but yet you let us partake. You let us join in those ministries by giving of our gifts, Lord. So we thank you now. We pray in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Who has held the oceans in his hands? Who has numbered every grain of sand? Kings and nations tremble at his voice. All creation rises to rejoice. Behold our God, seated on his throne. Come, let us adore him. Behold our King, nothing can compare. Come, let us adore him. Who has given counsel to the Lord? Who can question any of his words? Who can teach the one who knows all things? Who can fathom all his wondrous deeds? Behold our God, seated on his throne. Come, let us adore him. Behold our King, nothing can compare. Come, let us adore him. Who has felt the nails upon his hands, bearing all the guilt of sinful man? God eternal, humble to the grave, Jesus, Savior, risen not to wane. Behold our God, seated on his throne. Come, let us adore him. Behold our King, nothing can compare. Come, let us adore him. You will reign for, you will reign forever. You will reign forever. You will reign forever. Oh, our God, seated on his throne. Come, let us adore. Behold our King, nothing can compare. Come, let us adore.
Yes, Lord Jesus, give us the heart and the mind and the soul, Lord, to just sit in your presence this Christmas season, to not be caught up in everything, Lord Jesus, but just to meditate on your birth, your life, your death, your resurrection. Lord, let us behold you and tell a hurting world out there This is our God. He is good. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, a few announcements this morning. Remember to look on the celebrations page, see whose birthday and anniversary is this month, so you can congratulate them. Tony's already mentioned, but thanks once again to the ladies who came out and helped decorate the church, make it look all Christmassy and jovial and all those things. Thank you to that. Thank you to everyone who came out to the cider mill yesterday to support the performance of the Living Nativity. Stop by in the back table. There is the 10-day Christmas devotional, Jesus, the Light of the World. So please stop there and pick that up. Thank you to clean crew number 4 for cleaning the church today. We still need some people to help create another cleaning crew. So see Lacey back there in the back if you are interested in being on that. The deadline for being on in the 2023 church directory is here. Today is the day that you have to have that filled out, or otherwise we will just make up information and put that in there about you. Just find your picture, maybe draw one, and just write down a bunch of just false information about you on there. If you have Christmas cards for the church family, you can stop by the back table, drop those off, and they will be sorted and put together for the church family by Uni the Elf and Kirsten, the elf helper, I guess. I don't know what her actual title is, but a second elf there. Let's see, Marriage Monday, December the 12th from 6 to 8. Cost is $5 a couple. So please sign up at pay at the back table. The Christmas Eve service will be Saturday, December the 24th from 2 o'clock to 3:30 p.m. here at the church. There is a flyer with information about that, so make sure you look at that flyer. As a reminder, no service on Christmas Day. So this is our Christmas service for that weekend, so remember that. The kids will be performing. I have a musical performance on Sunday, December the 18th from 4 o'clock to 7 o'clock p.m. Here's a picture of some of the kids who will be singing right there. Spread the word. Bring your family and friends. Dinner will be provided, dessert, and a fun family craft. So a whole lot of stuff going on there, so remember that. And that's all the announcements, I think.
Pieces of information. So the performance is only 45 minutes. It's not 3 hours. So it says 4 to 7. But again, because we have a meal afterwards, enjoy the fellowship. Now, you won't be barred from leaving before then. If you say, well, I got to leave at, 5:30, Nick's not going to be in front of the door stopping you. So we'd love you to come and enjoy the children's ministry performance and maybe even some food that will be prepared by somebody in our own fellowship that makes really good tamales and beans and rice. I won't say who that is, but anyway, it's going to be a great night. We think about the gifts that people have. I want to thank Lacey for having the gift of organization and administration. Thank you, Lacey, for doing all this. It's to get all this information and then putting it where it's supposed to go. I don't have that. I'm walking chaos sometimes. So Lacey, my wife, God bless you for corralling me. My wife says I'm like a tornado when I walk in a room. So an additional announcement is there's a young lady that works at the diner, Beatrice, you might know her. She's looking for somebody who might be able to help provide childcare for, she has a toddler and a 4-year-old. They're fairly close in age. And she's also has a room that is available in her home. So if you know anybody who would like to do either of those things, is maybe looking for a room, or somebody who would like to help watch the kids, or somebody who would like to do both, then I would say best to contact Fred or Misty. Let them know. If you think you are that person or you know somebody who might be interested, that would really help her out. Preferably a woman, of course. So keep that in mind. And with that, Lord Jesus, thank you for this time you've given us, God. Would you allow us now to go be the distributor of gifts, Lord? Let us just take the sack of gifts that you've given us, Lord Jesus, and disperse them wherever we might go, Jesus, all in love. Bless this food to our bodies too that we're about to enjoy. We ask your blessing upon it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for coming. Amen. Oh, you did. Oh, we'll sing it. Oh, I'm so sorry. Okay.